I didn't put junk in my mind. Because negative thoughts are nothing but junk. That I didn't put junk in my mind.
Because you haven't prepared for this situation, it's a lot harder now that you're in the middle of it to overcome it.
It's a very, very useful technique for resilience. Because if you're watching things as you're watching a movie, right?
So the first thing, in other words, is to recognize that even if there is chaos happening around you, that underneath it is this stable place.
We have tasted peace. We have tasted resilience. Because what happens is in tranquility, your innate resilience comes out.
We don't know. We can have health challenges. We can have money problems. We can have relationship problems. We can have emotional problems. Lots of love and blessings. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're talking about resilience, how to handle the chaos and the challenges of life, because we don't know what's going to happen next. We live in a very unstable world. There are wars breaking out all over the place. The economy is all over the place. You don't know what is going to happen at any minute. And so we need to develop a way of coping with the challenges that come up in life, whether they're big or small challenges. And today we're going to be sharing with you exactly how to develop resilience in a practical way, so that when challenges do come to you, which they will, you have developed that inner strength to be able to deal with them and overcome them and come out the other end better off than you were before. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, Shireen.
Hello, Michael. Wonderful to be here with you.
Yay. So resilience, what an important topic. Why is this such
an important
topic?
I know, right? Because I feel everyone, I want to know one person who's listening to this hasn't had ups and downs in life. Everyone has ups and downs in life. And so we really need to navigate these ups and downs without too much trauma, right? That's what resilience is. Like if you take a rubber band, right? And you stretch the rubber band. So stretching would be the ups and downs of life. You stretch the rubber band, if it has resilience, it comes back to its original shape. If ups and downs in life stretch us, we need to come back to our original self. That's why we need resilience.
Right. And if we don't have resilience, it's like having something that is brittle. And you stretch it and it snaps.
Exactly.
And so that there's the two options. You either can bend with life, or it snaps. It's like a tree. If you've seen the trees, a good tree can handle a certain amount of wind and a certain amount of movement. Whereas a brittle tree, you know, if there's a storm, it just gets knocked out because it can't handle.
Right. And there will be storms, right? There will be ups and downs. That is not a choice we have. We can either break or we can be resilient. That's the choice we have.
That's the choice. And it's not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen, because we don't know. We can have health challenges, we can have money problems, we can have relationship problems, we can have emotional problems.
We can get divorced.
We can have divorce, we can have chaos in the government. You know, you can list out a whole range of potential problems, and we're probably going to face quite a lot of them throughout our life. So instead of putting our head in the sand and hoping that nothing bad ever happens, which is really a ridiculous thing to think, we can say there's bound to be some issues. How can I set myself up in advance so that when they do come, I can smoothly and gracefully flow through them? And the first thing to understand is that we need to develop these powers and develop these secret methods before the events come to us, because when things are going wrong, it's the wrong time to do anything about it. Many people, because I've been doing like spiritual courses and trainings and all this for a long time, I've had this question from many people. I'm going through this really challenging time, and this has happened and this has happened. What should I do about it? And unfortunately, and this is not what the answer, they want me to tell them, here's this one method you can do, now you're in this situation and it's all going to be resolved.
Get
that's
the
what
pill.
They want me to say. Give me the pill and everything's going to go away. That's what people want to hear. But what I have to say to them is that, unfortunately, because you haven't prepared for this situation, it's a lot harder now that you're in the middle of it to overcome it. Not that you can't do anything about it, but had you prepared previously, you would have been better off. Now, of course, I'm not, it's like one of those things where someone says, what am I supposed to do about investing money? Oh, it would have been better if you started investing when you were 10 years old. You know, people don't want to hear that if they're 65. It would have been better if you invested when you were 10, not when you're 65, because of compound interest. But that's the truth of it. The sooner we get on the case with taking care of ourselves and learning these things, the quicker we can come out the other side, and the more easily we will be able to manage situations that arise. So in other words, today is the best day to develop resilience.
Absolutely.
Yay. So what's the first thing we need to know about to develop this resilience?
I would say the first thing is understanding that our innate nature is tranquility. Because if we don't know that, right, if we don't accept it, yes, my innate nature is tranquility, if we don't accept it, then we tend to be more upset. But if we do accept it, right, then we can go and be in that state and own it like it's our right. Like, tranquility is my right because it's my nature. And how do we know? How do we know tranquility is our innate nature? I always give this example of a mango. I love mangoes, right? I do love mangoes. Oh. And so, you know, there was this one time in Florida, about 2 hours away, someone said, I ate one mango. Someone brought a mango from their garden to me, and I loved it, right? And I said, where did you get this mango? They said, oh, it's from this person's garden. So I called this person up and said, your mangoes are extraordinary. I mean, it was really an extraordinary mango. And so I drove all the way 2 hours to pluck mangoes from her, because the tree was laden, pluck mangoes from her yard and brought it and enjoyed it, right? If I didn't taste a good mango, I wouldn't know what a good mango tastes like. I wouldn't be driving 2 hours to get a mango. The only reason I went to get a mango was because it tasted great and I knew what a good mango was because I've tasted it before. It's the same way with tranquility. You know, we're not sitting here thinking, it would be nice if I had some more peacelessness and some more anxiety and some more stress. We're not thinking that because no one thinks that, right? You want to get out of stress. You want to get out of anxiety. And the reason why you want to get out of anxiety is because that's not your nature. You want to be in peace. You want to be in tranquility. You want to be in serenity. Is because that's your innate nature, because you go towards what you already experienced before.
That's very interesting. It's like if someone is wearing comfortable clothing, right, and they feel comfortable, and then they put on really, really tight clothing and they can't walk properly, and they know that it's uncomfortable and they don't like it and they can't wait to change out and put something comfortable on, right? Because you know the difference, right? I was in India. I went to India for 5 months for the mango season once, and I had 1,000 mangoes because I know what a good mango is like. And you have to go to India for the best mangoes, actually. They do have some good ones other places, but because we've tasted something wonderful, we want it again. And so,
yes, because we've tasted tranquility, we have tasted peace, we have tasted resilience. Because what happens is in tranquility, your innate resilience comes out. Because your innate nature is peace, your innate nature is tranquility. But when you sit in peace, when you are stable in tranquility, that is when resilience actually pops up. Because resilience also is innate, right? We have it. We just need to kind of coax it out.
So the first thing, in other words, is to recognize that even if there is chaos happening around you, that underneath it is this stable place that's already there, and you're gonna come back to it, because that is what's happening. That's like the undercurrents behind everything. And when you know that's what it is, then you can relax more, knowing that these events are gonna come and go, but you're gonna be all right, because underneath there's infinite peace. Yay. So what's the next thing we need to know once someone's kind of recognized that they're basically fundamentally okay and safe?
Yes, fundamentally their nature is peace and tranquility and serenity and calm. I would say the next one is being a detached observer. Is you have to watch life. I feel as a detached observer, as a witness, I feel all of us are too invested, right? We are emotionally invested. Mm-hmm. We are right, like really close to everything. You have to learn to watch things as you would watch a movie. It's a very, very useful technique for resilience. Because if you're watching things as you're watching a movie, right, one of the things that happens is you are able to, like, step back. Like, you're really able to step back. And once you step back, you have a very different perspective. It's not just so emotionally invested all the time. This should happen and that should happen and it should be this way and all of that. Because life's ups and downs teaches you that you know what they say, right? Plan, and you want to make God laugh, you tell him your plans. And so, you know, that life's ups and downs, right? Like, if you want resilience, like, really, it's laughable to think that, oh, you want it this way and this way and this way, and it'll happen that way. It doesn't. What do you think?
No, that's the best way to make God laugh, isn't it? here's what I want. Here's how it should be, you know. You know, it's actually a really wonderful practice to be a detached observer, or a spectator is another way of saying it, where, because normally we're here, and my life, and I have to deal with all this stuff, and we're so wrapped up in it all. And detached observer, it's a bit like, imagine that you are, you know, everyone has their phone, and I'm sure most people are watching videos or something on their phone. If there's a video on the phone, right, that you're watching over here on the screen, and it's about some random person in another country, right, and it's somewhat boring, you can see that happening over there on the screen while you're here safe and secure in your house, right? So you're here, and what's happening is over there. So detached observer is a bit like that, except we're kind of going out from here backwards, watching it from a distance. So it's kind of like becoming, in a sense, disembodied and seeing the character that you are from a distance, having a psychological and almost a visceral distance from it. Like, I like to think, imagine being 100 years in the future and looking back as like a distant memory. That's like a huge perspective. Like, when I think of that scale, I think, why would I be so bothered about this little thing that's happening? It's all like, it's nothing. But here, oh gosh, it's such a big deal. I remember one time I was feeling a little bit weird for some reason. I was in Hawaii, it's probably about 15 years ago roughly, and I was in a health food store, and I was walking down the aisle noticing that I was feeling a bit strange for some reason, and I decided just to be a detached observer of this character, and I just said, I'm just going to let Michael feel whatever he's feeling and be whatever he is, but I'm going to watch it from over here. And I remember having this wonderful feeling of complete freedom, that like I wasn't trying to change anything, I was just witnessing it from a different place. And I remember experiencing a sense of profound relief, because I wasn't in it. I was watching it from here. And then my feelings changed. So this is a very high-level practice. We could do a whole podcast just on being a detached
observer. Yeah, it is a very high-level practice, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I've noticed is there is one aspect of watching yourself as a detached observer that is there. Like, you really need to watch yourself as a detached observer. You know, what are your likes, dislikes, what you want, what you don't want, right? Just distance yourself from all of that. Just every day for a few moments, just distance yourself. Don't be so immersed in this is what I want and this is the way it should happen, right? That is what is watching yourself as a detached observer. But the other part is also watching the other people in your life, the situations in your life as a detached observer. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is when you watch other people and situations in your life as a detached observer, you really realize that you're interconnected, right? You're connected to everyone, and everyone in your life is important. And so, and also what you realize is the importance of community, because it's as weird as it sounds, right? Just the act of watching other people as detached observers, yourself as detached observers, you're able to stay in community, and you're able to stay in community with, you know, taking resilience from the community. Like, being in community gives you resilience, but I feel being in community and enjoying yourself in communities, you need to have this detached observer.
Yeah, and you can't really see what's happening unless you're detached. I remember one time I was having some waste thoughts about my people I work with, because I wanted something to happen, it wasn't happening, and I was getting a bit frustrated about it. And I practiced being a detached observer, and I looked at my messages, and I thought, hang on a minute, all these people are all here to help me out. Like, why am I having any negative thoughts about this? Like, they're here to make my life better, right? So it's like you actually can start to see the benefit of situations when you become detached. Whereas when we're caught up in it, we're so restless about how we want it to be and what we want it to work out like, and it should be like this and it shouldn't be like this, that we can't see some of these deeper realizations.
I was just thinking about this. I wanted to underscore the importance of community in building your resilience. And when you want to be in community, it's important to be a detached observer.
Yeah, so you need community to build resilience, but you also need to be detached to handle being with other people.
Yes, I know, right? Yeah. You should tell us all about it, being in community, Michael.
That's right, a community of one. That's right.
Yeah, no, but you've been in community before.
No, I have, yeah. No, I'm at the moment I've got a very kind of like simple life. But no, I've been in all sorts of different situations. I'm enjoying my time to myself, actually. It's been very nourishing. But I'm always connecting with people anyway, in different ways. You know, I think we learn about ourselves in relation to other people. Because people reflect things back to us that we might not notice. It depends on the people, obviously. I think it's very important, if you are going to be in a community, to be make sure you're in the right one that is for your highest good, and people who believe in you and people who push you a little bit. And it's important to have people who see the best in you and are willing to speak honestly about stuff and kind of grow and expand. That's really important.
So I'm not going to share what I really think about that.
No.
What? It's not as simple as you're making it out to be. And it's not as...
Well, it depends, doesn't it? You know, if...
Yeah,
if,
no, and also it's in, not as in. Black and white, right? It's not as black and white. Of course, there are moments where they're not seeing the best in you. And of course, there are moments where you want to run away. And of course, all of those are happening.
Right.
But by the end of, like, if you, let's say, take stock, at the end of 1 year, 2 years, like that, I always say 2 years. Give yourself 2 years before you decide something is not for you. Something as important as being in a spiritual community. Then you have to see, the sum of everything. Was it good? Because many times our ego makes things out to be much worse than actually it is.
I think it's like the whole thing overall, like, people are going to have different opinions, and some people are going to have a bad day, and something's going to happen, and there's going to be all these things simultaneously happening. But It is important if you're going to be in a community that there are people who are similar beliefs and similar goals and are moving in a similar direction. Otherwise, it's a bit of a problem, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Like if someone's purposely putting themselves in the situation, they need to be careful where they end up. Is it really beneficial? But a lot of the time we're thrown into situations with people and life that it just is what it is, and we have to deal with it, don't we? So this segues nicely into the next thing, which is learn how to put a full stop.
Right, learn how to put a full stop. That is a really good
point.
Yes, yeah. Full stop. Full stop in British English is a period.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, when I, many years ago, I had to deal with someone in the center. And there were a lot of back and forth, right? A lot of accusations and, you know, bad blood, but, you know, it was a very fraught relationship. Mm-hmm. And I just told myself, if I want to win in this relationship, I need to put a period to my thoughts. That is what is winning. Winning is not if she says something, I say something back. She says something else, I say something back. That's not winning. Winning is if she says something, how soon can I put a period to my thoughts, my negative thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And only like at the end of the day, that was my metric. Did I win today? Is how soon could I put a period to all the negativity that happened? Actually, to my own negativity, right? I'm not responsible for other people's negativity. I'm responsible for my negativity, and I didn't want to do a tit-for-tat negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it really helped. It really helped me because I felt that at the end of the day, I could tell myself I didn't put junk in my mind. Because negative thoughts are nothing but junk, that I didn't put junk in my mind. I could tell myself that. And I was really proud of myself because then it started becoming a game, right? Okay, last time it took me a few seconds. I thought about what this person said. Now, next time an interaction happens, I need to put it in a second, in 5 seconds. I would time myself. Okay, how soon am I able to do this?
That's a big deal, that one. I remember being in a situation where I was working with somebody and, frankly, it was a bit, let's just say, was not exactly harmonious. And I was being accused of just nonsense that just wasn't true at all. And so my mind was thinking, This is ridiculous, this is unfair, and I wanted to, like, get back at the person and sort of prove my point and sort of, like, you know, because the ego is like, how can I push back against someone's fraudulent nonsense, right? If you're being falsely accused, the reaction normally is just deal with the thing. But I realized that I was wasting my precious thought power unnecessarily having conversations with this person in my head. And I didn't like having conversations with this person in my head, so I was just doing exactly what you're talking about. Just stop, put a period, no need to have paragraphs in my mind about why I'm right about this thing. This doesn't matter, it's not worth my energy. Put a period, put a stop, put a stop, put a stop, put a stop. And I don't think about it anymore, thank goodness. Time is a healer anyway, but like when you're in the middle of it, put a period, put a stop. Because it doesn't fix things, does it?
No, it doesn't fix things. And what I've noticed is if you want resilience, you have to learn to put a period if you want resilience. Because your mind is like a muscle. It is a spiritual muscle. And to use the muscle, you can't, like, let's say any muscle, right? If you never use it, it's not going to work. Like, it's not just, you need to keep using muscles. That's why they work better. And so when you put a full stop, your mind works better. It becomes clearer, clarity, all of that happens. So in any situation with any person, it's not about who has the last word. It's not about that. It's about how soon can I put a period to this? How soon can I stop my negative thinking about this? Because that builds the mind, the muscle mind, and the muscle of the mind. And that is what will give us resilience.
Yes, what a relief. Yeah, so this is a high-level practice. We become detached observers, and then we can put a period much more easily. This is happening over there. I'm being detached from it, and I'm not going to waste my thoughts. And by the way, like, of course, there are situations where you have to do something. This isn't spiritual bypassing where we say, let's just ignore it and hopefully it's going to go away. Because sometimes you actually do need to do something about it, but that's a different thing.
If you do put a full stop, you know what to do. Your mind becomes clearer. If you think, analyze, reanalyze, your mind is not clear. You really want to know what to do, then you need to put a full stop, period.
Yeah, the mind needs some space to see it clearly. Because oftentimes when we're emotionally, because these situations we're talking about, they typically make us emotional, don't they? We become emotionally disturbed. And so we're like, and that's that kind of spinning, disturbed energy isn't necessarily going to come up with the best method to deal with this and solve the problem, is it? So we have to stop, put a stop, take a break, get out of it.
So the next one is connect with the core self. And I feel that connecting with the core self, right, is connecting with yourself as a spiritual being. That's what connecting with the core self is. That's like the fundamental basis, right? It's like the foundation for everything. And one thing you need to realize is the deeper we dig, the better the foundation. So the deeper we go into the core self, the better we are laying the foundation for resilience. And so if I keep walking around, right, if I keep walking around thinking I'm a body, I'm a gender, I'm a race, I'm an age, I'm beautiful, I'm ugly, I'm old, I'm young, whatever it is, people are constantly, right? Because the media wants to think those things because they want to sell you a product. And so you constantly keep thinking those things, then you're just like living life on a very superficial physical level. You're not digging deeper into who we are. And so if we want to really have resilience, right, we need to dig deeper into who we are. We have to connect with ourselves as spiritual beings, that we are actually spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah, that's probably one of the most important practices of all, isn't it? Because it's the soul, the immortal self that we are, that's having all the experiences of life. And we feel safe, don't we, when we're soul aware, soul conscious. So, you know, all this stuff's happening, but fundamentally I'm all right.
Exactly. We are safe. I like that word. We are safe. When we are soul conscious, when we are aware that we are spiritual beings, we are safe.
Yeah. Because most of the time when we are dealing with situations, we feel fundamentally unsafe. And that's what triggers all this spinning and all this like stress and negative feelings. So coming back to I'm safe and I'm secure and I'm just a beautiful shining light. That's why listening to some of these meditations that we have and practicing these things is really important. Because these practices that we do, we can come back to them in these challenging situations because we have practiced them before. So the more you practice them, generally speaking, this soul consciousness, then when these things come up, you can manage it with much more grace. The next thing we're talking about is transforming our narrative, like the way the story we're telling ourselves about the situation that we're having. We normally have a story that is doom and gloom type of story. Oh no, this thing happened. Oh gosh, you know, the media is very good at this. Like that, the whole of modern society is kind of shaped by the media narrative, and there's all sorts of narratives going on right now, anytime, to try and shape which side is right, which side is wrong, what the truth is, right? So there's a narrative around. A narrative means, so like, for example, something happens, like, for example, there is a cup of tea here, right? So this is a fact. There is tea in this cup, right? And I can drink the tea. That's just a factual statement. There's tea, and I drank the tea, and I put the teacup over there, right? The narrative around it is like, is Michael addicted to peppermint tea? You know, like, is there some special, does it have some special thing in it? Do I need this? Can I manage a podcast without drinking tea? Am I emotionally dependent on tea? You can have a whole range of things. An opinion around what is happening. I mean, hopefully someone's not having like complex narratives around drinking tea. It's a bit of a ridiculous thing. But when we're going through challenging situations, we develop a story, don't we? Like, I was going through a difficult situation with a divorce, and I remember driving down the road. This is a while ago now. And I vividly remember just going over this little speed bump just before I left the area just over there, and I thought to myself, Michael, this situation can either ruin your life, like, and really you can get really upset about it and it can be a major problem, or this can be a wonderful blessing and a wonderful opportunity for personal growth, right? Because there's two narratives. Narrative number one, this is a huge problem and it's going to ruin my life. Narrative number two is, this is a huge blessing and it's going to make my life better, right? And I could choose, there's like two doors, which one am I going to go through? And I was like, no, I have to consciously choose the correct narrative, that this is good, this is good, this is good. And then everything that happened along the way, I could remind myself, no, I'm choosing this is good. I'm choosing this is good. And this isn't just for things like divorces or major issues. Like, even right now, I've got various things I'm dealing with projects and systems and software, and I don't particularly naturally, it wouldn't be my funnest thing to wake up in the morning and go, yay, software, hooray, hooray. I'm just being honest, right? But instead of thinking, oh, this is such a disaster, this is so tedious, I've had to create a new narrative. This is great. I like software. I like dealing with all these different details. This is going to be great. This is going to come out really, really well, right? So I have an attitude that this is good. So then it gives me energy, and I can start developing virtues and patience and being more organized. And there's all this benefit I get from it, and the situation ends up better as well. Or I don't like it. It's so awful. How is this happening to me? It's unfair. It shouldn't be like this. I don't want to be doing it. Then that drains my energy and I feel disturbed. So we have to decide which narrative we're going to choose. And you can create your own narrative. It's totally up to you what narrative you want to have around it.
Or highlight, things are right? Just,
yeah.
You can highlight a very small portion of the narrative and just shine a light on that. You know, for example, when we, about a couple of decades ago, we did a project called Celebrating Human Greatness, and we went into city after city in the U.S., and we did conversations, right, around greatness, like everyday greatness. Like everyday greatness, like, you know, there was this one incident where someone in, standing in the subway in New York, someone fell and he jumped in, the train was coming, jumped in, pulled this guy out before the train hit both of them, right? That is a great act, right? But for him, he was just doing something ordinary, right? He was just doing something ordinary. But I feel that we overlook all the greatness that we are doing, all the good things we are doing, all the good things that are happening. We overlook it and we kind of focus on all the negative things that are happening. And so even if 10 negative things happen and one good thing happened, right? If we keep focusing on that one good thing and how I responded with this one good quality, then that increases. Because one of the outcomes of that celebrating human greatness was that, people who normally think people are great, like Nelson Mandela or Mahatma Gandhi, right? Two things that differ from an ordinary person to them, that both of them, these were findings, right, after talking to thousands of people. What we found is that both, like Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela on one side and just an ordinary person on one side, but both of these people, ordinary person, Nelson Mandela, both have moments of greatness. But someone is highlighting and talking about these people's moments of greatness more. Oh, and then also they have more moments of greatness maybe. But also they could have more moments of greatness because someone is highlighting and talking about their moments of greatness, right? And since we can't have the whole media talking about our moments of greatness, we need to kind of reshape our narrative and talk about, it's not like tooting your own horn, but you have to talk about your own moments of greatness in any particular situation, right? If anything happens. So let's say somewhere recently people were saying, there was a fire. And so you could say, oh, there was a fire, we all got stressed and everything happened, everything burned down, blah, 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 somewhere else, right? We could say those things. Or we could say, oh, we all are safe. And I was calm. This happened. I was really calm. Mm. Even if you were calm for 5 minutes, just focus on that, right? And that will amplify, because whatever we focus on amplifies. And that's what builds our resilience.
You know, this reminds me of a scene from a Monty Python movie, The Holy Grail, where there's Sir Robin. We should see if we can insert it into the podcast.
Bravely bold Sir Robin, brought forth from Camelot.
And Sir Robin has a band of minstrels who follow him around, and they're going, Sir Robin, he's so brave, and they're like clapping behind him, and they're singing his praise the whole time, right? We need a band of minstrels, actually. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it would actually be quite helpful, wouldn't it, if you had a band of minstrels around? Can you imagine? Shireen is so great, and she, look what she did. I mean, it sounds funny when you say it like this, but actually, this is what the media is doing with various people, right? And that's having an effect on their self-image, and it's having an effect on the sort of things they're more likely to do more of, right?
Right.
So how do we do this in a sustainable, healthy way, considering we're not going to get the media and the band of minstrels anytime soon? I this could be a good product, though. Someone might come up with a band of minstrels that just follows you around. But this is a very interesting point you're bringing up, actually. I was just thinking of someone who talked to me recently. He hasn't got any money. He's struggling with his work. He's having a hard time with his new job, and he's stressed out, and he wants to be doing something else, but he's like, everything's pressured, and he's having a rough time and hasn't got any money. What can he do?
First is the moments in that job where you felt stable. First, try to feel stable. Try to feel tranquil. Remember, your innate nature is tranquility. Try to feel tranquil, even if it's for 1 minute. Just go sit in the job and feel tranquil for a minute. And then you keep telling yourself, see, I was tranquil for a minute. I was tranquil. All this stuff is happening and I was tranquil. And you keep reshaping your narrative. Then, because you keep telling yourself that, then you want to increase your moments of tranquility. And believe it or not, the more tranquil you are in situations, the more the situations will favor you. That's just the way the universe works.
That's very interesting. So you highlight the thing that you're doing well.
And yes, you keep highlighting it. You keep highlighting it. Don't highlight, oh, it's all going wrong, I don't have money, I don't have... No, 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 don't do that. Right? We are self-sabotaging at that point. We have to stop that pattern. Just start highlighting things that you did good. What went right in the day? How did I respond? Even though this happened, I respond with equanimity. Even if it is for 1 minute and then you got upset afterwards, just focus on the minute.
That's wonderful advice, yeah. Because oftentimes we think, oh, but this didn't work out and this didn't work out and blah, blah, blah. And that's obviously reinforcing what we don't want to happen. But instead to focus on, no, this was good. I did this thing well and this thing was good and I did this thing. And that's a big difference, actually. So what's the next thing that's going to help with resilience?
Oh, the next one is the hardest, I think, is balance.
Balance. What does that mean?
Balance really is about balancing our inner and outer lives. You know, people are so focused on the outside world. They're focused on how their job is, how relationships are, you know, what's going on outside, how they look. Everything is about the external world. And they have a false belief. The false belief is if my relationships are okay, if I look beautiful externally, not internally, if I look beautiful, my relationships are okay, I have a good job, then I will be happy. That's a false belief. Because you could have all of that and you'll still be miserable. Or you might not be, but there's a possibility you will be miserable. And so, because the focus is so much on the outside, right, that we are neglecting our inner world. And what I've noticed is the outside world changes, right? Relationships change, job changes, you know, looks change, all of those things change. But the more we focus on the inner world, right, we have a balance. I'm not saying don't do this, don't do job, don't do relationship. I'm not saying that. But the more we focus on our inner world and we take our meaning from the inner world, then I'm able to balance and keep the outside world in perspective and I'm able to have resilience in the outside world. Because the inner world is the only world that we can actually control. Outside world, we can't control. And so many of us don't have this balance. And so we need to go keep this balance of inner world, outer world. Like spend as much time as you spend thinking about the outer world, spend that much time thinking of your inner world, thinking about who you are, what your core values are, what do you want in life, right? These are your virtues, these are your qualities, these are your values, all of that. You start thinking about that is the inner world. Meditation, anything, right? Meditation is not just sitting quietly and chanting a few things. This is all part of meditation. And so when we have this balance, that is when we are able to really build resilience.
That's very deep. That's a very deep thing to have genuine balance. I was thinking about how sometimes when I'm working on something that's somewhat difficult, if I think, let me just force through and just get this done, and I don't take breaks and I don't have meditation, then I end up, first of all, feeling stressed, not enjoying myself, and also oftentimes not getting very far either. So it's like it's like everything about it is all terrible. It's like negative, negative, negative. Whereas when I say, okay, let me just stop, go for a walk, sit down somewhere, meditate, just let everything go, become a detached observer, you know, just like go into the inner experience of freedom, then I feel better for a start, which is a huge upgrade. And then I also get ideas on exactly what I need to be doing to solve the issue quicker. And there's no way, I normally don't get those ideas unless I'm in a very relaxed, peaceful state. So the balance is instead of just like constantly push, try and get everything done, to come back to the good vibrations and the internal feeling of freedom and being open to guidance, you know, and support, and then things sort of resolve themselves. Whatever needs to come through comes through, and we can move forward from there. So, I mean, and oftentimes if we're stressed out about a situation, we don't think, oh, but I haven't got time to stop right now because this is such a big issue. One example of this was really funny, actually. About 10 years ago, 15 years ago, all my websites went down. Everything went down. And I spent the whole day stressed out trying to figure out what to do about it. The whole day, right? And I was like, oh my God, everything's gone down. And at the end of the day, or the next day, I realized that there was absolutely nothing I could have done except sent one email to the company. And what I should have done is just sent the email and just gone to the beach and not worried about it. But instead, I spent the entire day for about 12 hours being very disturbed. And that was absolutely ridiculous. Waste of my time. So this goes to show the power of just taking, going inwards and getting sanity and clarity about things.
Right, rather than just
being on the outside.
Balance is not either or, right? It's not, oh, I'm just spending in the outside world and now I give up the outside world and I spend it all. No, it's not either or. It's both are important. Both need to be done equally.
Yeah, it's not one or the other. It's both.
Blessings.
Yay. So you got your special book?
Yes, right. Blessings. Okay, this time we will pick the blessing of resilience. Resilience. You've learned the art of spotting the rainbow at the end of every storm, which helps you pour love into every task. You, the soul, stand resilient like an oak tree, bracing for and overcoming inner storms with strength and courage.
Do you want to read it again?
You've learned the art of spotting the rainbow at the end of every storm, which helps you pour love into every task. You, the soul, stand resilient like an oak tree, bracing for and overcoming inner storms with strength and courage.
Fantastic. So, thank you so much for your lovely presence. And I hope everyone enjoyed listening to this. And also, if you would like to go deeper, we have a free training about some very advanced practices to help you with your resilience even further. So enjoy. Hope everything's all right. And just know that you're going to get through the other side. And the more we practice these things before chaos happens, the better we are. So it's now is the moment of power. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. So many, many blessings. Take care.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.